Welcome to Daytime Confidential, the only podcast of its kind, your one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Lou. On today's show, we visit with Gina Davis, the ultimate soap fan. She has attended 15 years of Super Soap Weekends, walked the red carpet at this year's Daytime Emmys, and has turned her lifelong passion as a fan of ABC soaps into a business working with some of Daytime's most promising stars. So stay tuned. Hello, is this Gina?
This is Gina. Who's this?
Gina, this is Luke and Lisa from Daytime Confidential. How are you?
Good. How about you guys?
Pretty good. Lisa?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. I have been looking at your webpage. Now, did you design this, or do you have somebody on your staff that does your webpage?
Which one? Fanfare Inc.?
Fanfare Inc.
Yes, actually, it's a template. I designed the template, though. I mean, I took it from... Are you familiar with the template?
They have yes.
Interesting things you just pick. I knew the colors I wanted, and I knew what I was going after, and so I kind of made some tweaks. I do websites, but I don't do Flash, and I don't do, like, the fancy stuff. So I have a guy who I barter back and forth with. I do things for him, and he does things for me. So
hey!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wrote the... Well, I guess that sounds bad, doesn't it? I didn't think about how that sounded.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. That's fine.
That's funny. So, yeah, I designed it, and he went in and tweaked it for me. She was actually a Caucasian girl, and I wanted a black girl. Because my agency is reflecting mostly actors of color and things of that nature, and so so when we put the camera in our hand and did some tweaks to it to make it kind of me in the streets.
It's very effective and very cute. I just loved it.
Thank you so much.
I was like, "Come here, husband." I was telling my husband, come here, look at this. I want a website like this." He started laughing. He goes, "Yeah, dream on."
Yeah, believe it or not, it wasn't that expensive to do. Of course, if you have in your head what you want, and like I said, this guy is into, he does a lot of high-tech stuff. And I don't do any high tech. And so I actually met him because I took a Flash class, a macromedia Flash class, and about 20 minutes into it, I went, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, that's not the funnest thing to learn.
it's that whole movie frame thing. I do have some background in radio and television. Mm-hmm. And so when he said, oh, it's just frames, just like a movie, and I thought, ooh, I'm already done because that's why I got out of that business. But me, it's kind of bizarre that I even work on a website because all through college I paid my friends to do all my work because I refused to touch a computer. So they all think it's absolutely hysterical what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that is pretty funny. I thought the coolest thing that I was reading about you, not the coolest, but one of them, you're a certified chef. Now, see, I burn water, so I'm very talented in that. I'm very interested in anybody that can cook, really.
Well, it's very cool, and it's a very handy skill to have because I'll never be unemployed. I can leave, and as I have, lived in several different cities. And so anywhere I go, I know I'll always have a job because as long as you can cook, I'm actually a certified working chef, not a certified chef. Difference being that I did not go to culinary school. I went through an apprenticeship through a program because I couldn't afford culinary school. So I went through School of Hard Knocks, essentially stood right by a German chef who was trained in Paris and learned right underneath him. And so I accumulated my hours that way and by doing food shows and working with the Culinary Federation and those kinds of things. So,
well, that's impressive.
Have you been on Iron Chef America?
I would love to do it. It's so
Wouldn't
crazy.
That be awesome?
I mean, I love food TV. But when I was a chef, it wasn't so cool to be a chick chef in the kitchen. Anybody who was anybody who made money was a guy. And if you were a chick, you got to do one of three things. You got to do salads, you got to do garmage, which is pole kitchen, that's ice carving and fruit carving and all that stuff, or you've got to stand around and be the prep kitchen girl. And so I did all three, and I ended up being really good at cold kitchen, which we call garmage, and that's how I ended up in Florida, Luke, to answer your question. I got tired of Maryland, where I did my apprenticeship, that's why I stayed a little bit, and then what happened was my one friend said, well, let's move. And I was ready to go because she knew I hated it. And she had family in Florida. And so I thought, well, Disney's there and they need cooks. And so we went, and within a month we picked up and moved all our stuff. And she's still my best friend till today. And we Aww. Went to Florida. And so I ended up working for Disney for a short time. I've also worked for Universal.
Is that how you've been able to go to all the Super Soap weekends since they've been out there? Because I was reading that. It's like, you're one lucky gal. There's a lot of people who'd kill just to go once, and you've been to every single one
every
of the
single
Super
one.
Soap.
But I'm not the only one. There's, I know at least 20 girls who've been to every single one, and I hang out with
my
all
goodness.
Of them.
Oh my goodness.
There's so many of us. We're not in a minority, really. Actually, the minority are the people who have never been who are soap fans. We're just like, really? You've never been?
Luke, we're a minority.
Yeah, well.
Minority. It's not for the faint-hearted. Super Soap Weekend's a little bit difficult.
That's what I've heard. It's hard
on your body.
Yeah, we had someone from our website, Danielle, who went down there, and it was her first time there, and it was like, did she meet up with you by chance? I'm not sure if she did or not.
She didn't meet up with me, but we talked over the internet, and I tried to give her some advice, and she kind of was like, it can't be that bad, and about... It was so funny because I guess I must have emailed back and forth with her about 4 or 5 times, and I told her all the good and the bad and the ugly, and she was just like, oh, I'm sure it's going to be fine. And all day Saturday, I think I heard from her maybe once, and she was like, hey, and she called me on Sunday on my cell phone when we're all queuing up at some god-awful hour in the morning. She called me and went, okay, you were right.
That sounds like Danielle.
It was hysterical because at that point I thought, oh, and she had a friend who I think was wheelchair bound too or something with her, and I said, this is going to be tough. You guys might want to reconsider your plan. And, you know, I gave her the whole plan because, like I said, I've been every single one. Mm. And I tell people all the time, and they go, God, you make it sound like it's not fun. And I'm like, no, it is fun. It's crazy fun. You just have to be up for it physically, and if you're not prepared for it, you're just in shock. I mean, your body is just in shock. It's a hard 2 days. I mean, some of these girls, and I have gone every single year, and I see all, I've watched girls grow up, a set of twins who I see every year. They're now models, and they've finished college now, and they were young high school girls. I think they were just going into high school when we first met in the line the first year. And so it's like old home week. I see guys who used to hate the soaps and just stood in lines for their wives so they could get cool Christmas presents, who are now chasing down the likes of Alicia Minshew and some of the others. So it's kind of funny to watch the transition of, there used to be a sprinkling of men at Super Soap Weekend, and now they're fighting you in line. So
really? That just tickles me.
Do you have any tips for people who may be first-time people who are going that you might just off the top of your head have for a listener?
Yes. Rest. Get lots of rest before you leave. You need to, because you will not sleep, and you will barely eat. You will find yourself eating and drinking things you never thought you would just to get through the day. And to prepare yourself. This is the biggest thing, I think. Prepare yourself not to do all that you think you can, because it's just impossible.
Sounds like college.
Yeah. There's so
it really
much
does.
Going on. It is. There's so much going on, and there's so much happening. And the other thing is that, you know, on Saturday, you have to think, I guess the biggest thing is on Saturday, you will be miserable. You would just be miserable because you won't know the park if you're a first-timer. You won't know what you're doing. And people are really kind of mean. They can be very, very ugly. And then people can be very cunning, too. And so there's a lot of disappointed first-timers, and you can always tell them in the lines. It's really quite bad to watch them. You feel bad for them, but you're like, too bad, too sad. I got to get my stuff. So,
That's right. Survival of the fittest, baby.
Because after all, MGM now costs $72 per ticket per day. And, yes, I have to make sure that it's worth my while now. So, I mean, I go in with a plan. Now that I work with a lot of the actors, there's a lot less of the whole rush, I need to get an autograph, I need to get this, I need to get that. So it's a little bit more enjoyable for me now, and now that we've been every single year and a lot of the same people go, there are certain things that I know that I just don't even bother because I know I can get them at other events that I attend. And I probably attend about 15 to 20 events a year.
Well, and do you also plan a lot of those events? Because from the information I've been reading and yours and I's emails and discussions, it sounds like you're quite active, whether it be with the Gabriel Project, with it be the various actual meet and greet events. And from what I've read on Fanfare Inc., it seems like you've been able to take and turn being a fan and going from that fan stage into a actual business plan, which is quite impressive, because you're basically doing what every fan has always wanted to do. And that's so commendable.
Well, thanks. It's hard work, and it's something that I set my mind to, but it's also something that I saw in a dream. It's kind of weird, because I'm one of these people who I've always known, and I've had some really terrific jobs. I'm a retired chef. I also work with HIV positive, and right now I'm a health educator, and I've done that for about 17 years, but initially in my HIV social work, I was the one who would walk people through their death process. I started with HIV when everyone died, and now I'm at a point where everyone's living with this disease, and the disease is becoming more manageable for folks. And I'm phasing out of that because, well, frankly, I'm getting a little burnt out, but I have a couple projects that I'm working on. And so in that process, I have always, all those jobs have really just afforded my folly of fandom. Because, all my life I've been a soap opera fan. I grew up wanting to write for soaps. And that's how I started. I went back to school to get into radio and television. And then I realized that I can't sit still long enough to write a script. I was bored stiff out of my mind. Because I have way too much energy for my own good. And so at that point I went, not so much. And that's when I changed and kind of segued, and I realized that, I go into all these fan events, especially in the early days, and this has been something that I've heard both of you talk about, the lack of diversity, particularly at ABC. I'm a huge ABC fan, not just ABC Daytime, even though I live for ABC Daytime, but, for years I got my news from Peter Jennings, and now, Charlie Gibson, and whenever anything happened, it was always Eyewitness News. So for me, it's always been ABC TV. I don't know why, but it just always has been, and I always knew, I always watched Ted Koppel, and at one point there was a conversation about, being able to do this kind of work and women in TV and television, and this was just about the time that Barbara Walters was segueing in and out of TV, and, we were starting to see all these women on TV on a daily basis, and so I thought, wow, I can do that, and then I realized after I started taking classes, not so much, I'm bored by it. And then I saw myself on camera and went, wow, nobody needs to see that. So,
Oh, come on.
So, some people are photogenic and some people are not. I am not photogenic, and I'm fine with that. But you know what? This is the thing. People don't know their misgivings in life, and I am very good about figuring out what I'm great at and what I'm not.
And that is a talent.
Yeah, being on camera, I am living my life to have a cooking show. But I actually auditioned for the next Food Network star, and I actually got pretty far along in the process. But when I saw these other people's tapes, I went, oh, my God, there's no way I can do that. Because I am one-dimensional on screen, and that's hard to translate to people, but if you're in the business, you kind of get it. You ever notice you see some actors and you go, wow, she just pops off the screen, or she just speaks to you, and then others just leave you flat. That's the difference. Some people are really three-dimensional on a screen and their personality. Beth Ann Bonner's one of them. She's just she just jumps off the screen at you. Oh,
doesn't she? I adore her.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan. I'm so lucky to have her. That was a fluke. But yeah,
really?
I shouldn't say that, but she came to me. It was really a lot of hard work that I didn't even know she was noticing, but because of Kumar. Yeah, I've been very lucky. I'm very active, and you guys have probably seen I'm on my space. I think some of you probably get my blog or something.
Yes, I'm subscribed to it.
Very, very active, and I pump and pimp my actors big time, and all the things that they do and all the things that they're doing, and I let people know about them. And I guess she was watching, and so I got lucky. And she also knew. We had met at Broadway Cares this February. Was the first time we met, and she and Kumar were on stage, and I was trying to get some pictures because I knew the minute I saw the two of them together, and I knew that Java, Jessica, and Antonio Vega were ending, I was like, there it is, right there.
And you can see that on the screen, and it's one of those things where Lisa's mentioned it on several occasions how they could be a great couple, but then you look at it, and it's like they're not going along with it the way they should be, and it just makes you want to scream sometimes, because sometimes two people have that much chemistry and then they don't go for it, and it's like,
that's
what in the world's going on?
It's going to happen. It's slow going. This is summer break, and not to, I mean, it's weird because I know some things that people don't know, and then I don't know enough to be dangerous, but it's going to happen, and we're pretty sure it's going to happen, and I'm excited for it to happen.
Me too.
They tape like 8 weeks in advance at One Life to Live. They're very active. And so because they're so busy, Kamar is, you know, with the Gabriel Project right now, he's picking up a couple of children that in the summer. What happens is with the Gabriel Project, we bring back children for life-saving surgeries. And so it's funny because my life is just so karma-filled. I became a friend of Mark Melamed, who is the founder of the project, at the very same time that Kamar got involved with Gabriel Project. And while I was a fan of One Life to Live, Kamar, in terms of the things that he did, I was always kind of impressed by. But Antonio Vega wasn't one of my favorite, you know, actors. I mean, wasn't my favorite character. And right. So I really just love that. I'm a social service person at heart, and Kamar was so charity-driven that
yes.
I noticed him out of that. But it wasn't the Antonio Vega thing that I noticed so much as it was that. And I thought that was interesting, but I went to their very first event, mainly because I wanted to get involved with the Gabriel Project. I just loved the process of it and the whole idea of children helping children. And all of that, I went, wow, this is really cool. And this is just a sixth grade guy, I mean, this sixth grade teacher who had an idea, and look how far it's come. So I wanted to meet him really bad. So I emailed him, and we got together and started talking. And I had a few ideas, which one of them ended up being the cookbook that's for sale on their website. I actually did that book with his sixth grade student.
To clarify, on which website? The Gabriel Project website?
The Gabriel Project website,
okay.
Yes.
And what is that for the listeners?
The Gabriel Project is a charity, a nonprofit organization, and what they do is they go to impoverished countries where children need life-saving surgeries, but they are out of their reach in terms of affordability. So what happens is Mark Melamed and Kamar and other celebrities, Jackie Zeman from General Hospital is also involved. There's a number of celebrities who back it. Beth Ann Bonner's just come on. And what happens is that they go over, and mostly in Africa, but also other countries. Right now, Kamar and Mark are in the Dominican Republic. They bring the children here to New Jersey, where Mark is based, and there's a hospital and doctors and everyone who donates their time. And we, the charity, gives them a host family who will take care of the family of the child while the child goes through surgery.
Aww.
Everything's taken care of. The child is brought back to health. And then the child is flown back home at our expense. So we take care of phone calls and diapers and all of those things, food and clothes and all those things that the family that needs. And you can imagine someone coming from a third world country, coming here, already their kid is very sick and probably dying. Mm-hmm. And then they're here in the States, and it's all this consumerism and capitalism, and it's all overwhelming. And so we place them with a family who's very kind enough to guide them through the process while they're here, because sometimes they can be here for 3 or 4 months while the child is recovering.
Oh, wow.
And we then help them. That host family donates their time and energy, and we help to subsidize the host family while they're here, and then we pay for the travel back and forth. And it's a neat organization. And the way we raise the money is so many ways, but Mark's kids, his sixth grade kids, every year they take on a project. And about a year and a half ago, I went and talked to sixth graders in Vineland, New Jersey, is where the school is located, the Memorial Day School. And I talked to the kids and said, listen, I want to do something, and you guys want to do something, so here's the deal. If you all gather all your family recipes, I will make a cookbook out of it, and then we'll sell the cookbooks around Mother's Day, and all the money we can use to help, you know, these children. And they love the idea, although it took them a little bit longer to get enough recipes, because you need about 200, 250 recipes. But they came in slowly and surely, and I edited all the book. I edited all the recipes, put them together in a book, and created this cookbook, and it's for sale on The Gabriel Project, which is www.thegabrielproject.com.
And you'll see some great pictures of the children, too.
You will see all the children that we've
Aren't
there.
They beautiful?
It's so cool. So many of them. Rayson was my first child to meet. He's the very last one. He looked like a little raisin when they brought him over. And he was the tiniest little thing. And he really suffered, and we almost lost him twice. And I mean, he had a heart valve, a hole in his heart, and lots of problems. And we didn't think he was going to make it. It was very, very scary. He's healthy and jumping around and doing really well now. So it's unbelievable. It's really cool work, and $15 for the cookbook. And so when I told Kamar about what I was doing, he wrote the foreword for the cookbook, and he's agreed to autograph any books that we sell. So I go
around. Let me go right now. GabrielProject.com.
But GabrielProject.com. And,
I'm going to buy it right now.
Oh, that's great. You'll love it. There's some really great recipes in there. I've got some adult recipes in there, too, because they have...
Even I can follow these recipes?
Yes. They have, like, Rice Krispie treats. You know, they have really cool ones. They have mummy dogs and some really funny things. But, I mean, they're sixth graders, after all. But then I also, because I am a retired chef, included some really good appetizers and drink recipes.
Oh, well, that's cool.
My favorite sangria recipe and some of my favorite appetizers. But the cool thing about the book is that next to every recipe, the kid's name is there. So his parents get to see his name in there. So
I'm so cool. That's so cool. And what a good idea that you had, because that reaches not just the soap fans that would hear about the Gabriel Project because of Kamar, but it also reaches anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a soap fan or not. Hey, this is a cookbook. Everybody eats. Let's go. That's a good idea.
That's the cool thing about the charity, all in all, is that it really isn't about the soap fans at all. That just has been a gift to us. It really started as these children helping children, and there's a lot of kids who are now in college who come back to help and help Mark, and it's a very small community, and the dentists in the area and the eye doctors in the area, they all contribute to it. And Kamar and Jackie Zeman and all the actors were just an extra blessing, because for many, many years it was just these sixth graders and this sixth grade teacher, you know, chugging right along, and then he caught the eye of a few celebrities, and Kamar is now the spokesperson. Kamar Delisresh from One Life to Live is the spokesperson, and he travels around, and that's why you guys get to hear a lot now. And that what he did, he had the brainchild of what we call Daytime Comes Nighttime.
Oh, well, that's cool.
That's our annual event, and actually we're putting out our save the dates at the luncheon. The next date is March 8th, 2008, and what we do is it's a great event for anybody who wants to go. It's my favorite soap event, and that's unbiased. I mean, it's really probably my favorite because it's very casual. It's really fun. I mean, it's casual in the atmosphere, but we all get dressed up, and we all it's great food, great drink. I mean, it's always the open bar, which is always, you know, a plus for me.
Yeah. there you go.
But the actors come, and a lot of actors come, and if you look on the site, you'll see, you know, the tremendous amount of support we've had over the last 3 years. This will be our fourth annual in 2008, and of course, the One Life to Livers, they get to meet the children, because oftentimes Mark will take the children to the studio, so they know who they're supporting.
Aww.
And they're so good about it. I mean, so many of them, Robin Strasser and Trevor St. John, and so many of the big, you know, the big actors who don't have to give their time anymore, they show up at this event, and they party with us, and they dance with us, and they, you know, they do the fan thing, but it's not like queue up and line up and ask your same, what's your favorite color? Who's so fun to kiss? It's none of that. It's just a party.
Well, man, I'm looking at these pictures going, yeah, that looks fun.
Okay, so question.
Yes.
You're so busy. Do you have any time to actually watch the soaps anymore?
Believe it or not, I never miss an episode, and I can't tell you when the last time I missed an episode.
Of One Life to Live or all three?
Of all three.
You are kidding me.
And actually, this year I picked up Days of Our Lives because I'm working with Marcus Patrick, who's the ex-Jamal on All My Children.
Oh, I love him.
God, he's so hot. You don't know how
he
hot
is. He is beautiful.
Yes.
And they seem to be using him much to he's got a much better storyline on Days of Our Lives. Let's
it's
put it that way.
It's unbelievable to me, the difference, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's
thank you. We've been saying it for months. Yes.
I mean, I'll be honest cuz I've said it before on a previous podcast. I wasn't a big fan of his when he was on All My Children, but he's had marked improvement on Days of Our Lives.
Well, because he's got something written for him. I mean, he walked in. It's been unbelievable to me, but basically his first day on the show, there was about 20 to 25 minutes worth of airtime. He walked in with a character, with a backstory, and with interacting with real characters as if he belonged there, unlike these transplants who just float in and out of General Hospital. It drives me crazy.
Well, and he's from a core family, too. I mean, he's from the Carver family.
And he's from a family. Core family with a history and all of that, and now he's about to be involved in a triangle and all these kind of cool things. It's unheard of. He's only been on the show, I want to say it's been 2 months now, maybe
three. Yeah,
it's
been a short time.
Very short. And all of that has happened, and couple that with Mafundo Morrison, who, you know, I also work with, who was on GH for 3 years. And
oh, don't get me started on that.
Oh, don't even get us started.
Never had more than 10 minutes of airtime in a day. It drove me nuts.
How they disposed of that character is one of the most horrific things to ever happen to a Quartermain. It's not even funny.
Okay, we won't go there. We'll just leave all of that alone.
But he's a great and talented young man. I will say that, a very talented young man.
Adore him. He's like family to me. He's
that's
one
so
of my
great.
Favorite people in the world.
It's nice to know that, you know, when you know, a good actor, that in real life they have a heart, mm-hmm. that they're good people, because that makes me a fan. I may be a fan of their talent, but to be a fan of an actor, I have to know that they're doing good and that they're a good person off screen.
I'm with you. I mean, I have chosen the actors that I have on my roster. I've chosen them as much as they've chosen me. Although they probably tell you that they didn't know one way or the other. But really, seriously, I mean, I have Tobias Trevelyan, who plays Vincent Jones on One Life to Live, who I just adore. But at first, it was really just a crush. how beautiful is that? And then Sean Ringel, who plays his bodyguard, who is the best
cool.
guy.
They had some great scenes this last... What was it? What is today? Today's Thursday? That must have been Monday or Tuesday in the prep for the whole, like, date thing.
With
that was
Renee?
Yeah, it was like... That was funny.
That was
well,
cute.
Well, we are going to have... We'll be able to see Sean on screen. I understand they've spoiled it already, so I'm not telling anything I don't know, but I think it's the 31st and the 1st and the 2nd, which is just before fan club luncheon, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, good.
We're going to see some more Sean. He's hilarious and just a great guy. Feel so blessed to be a part of the whole process, and he's an interesting character in himself because he's a bodyguard in real life, and he's bodyguarded mm-hmm. for some of the biggest folks out there, Matt Damon and Halle Berry, and just this week, Queen Latifah, and I was like, dude, give me an autograph. So, you know,
I love it.
I'm still a fan. I mean,
you're
I'm
so much fun.
Well, I'm disturbed too. I mean, I'm still a fan.
And I like it.
You know what? To me, it's the only way. It's one of the reasons why I got into the business, because I looked around and went, some of these folks seem really miserable doing this work, mm-hmm. and I just don't think it has to be that way. But more than that, it seemed like people lost their zeal for just having fun with it.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'm a fan first, but I always, what I'm trying to do with my business is create the experiences that I, as a fan, always wanted to have. And so far, we've done well with it. It's been good, and I've been lucky. I mean, I've been very much blessed. There's a little bit of skill. Oprah says, you know, opportunity and the particular time, you know, equals your luck. But, you know, opportunity plus preparedness and the right time equals your luck. And I've come to believe that that's right, because in planning and thinking about what I wanted to do and how I wanted to go into this next phase of my life and realizing that I'd probably have another year or two in HIV, what would I do? I mean, I'm only 44 and I got a lot of life left to live. What would I want to do? And I just thought, you know what? I looked around, and Mafundo Morrison was a big catalyst for me, because at that time I was getting very frustrated with GH. I've watched all three soaps. I can't even count anymore. I know it's more than 30 years. I remember,
my goodness.
I remember when Erica Kane walked on the set and went, Erica Kane! So I remember
just like
that,
that
line.
Too.
I remember that. I remember Brooke driving her, you know, her motorcycle into the mansion, all of those things.
One of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, I watched One Life to Live when Karen was on the stand crying and telling Larry Wolick she was a hooker. All of that stuff. So I've watched GH. I watched GH, Jesse Brewer and, you know, the Hardys and all of that, saw all of that come and go. And so, I am a big fan of the shows more than the couplings and all of the craziness that surrounds it. I'm more into the tradition of the shows. But having said that, what I realized is that somewhere along the line, we lost the reflection of our society in the soaps, and that kind of upset me. And so that's how Fanfare came along, because working with Mufundo, who really was so new, he looked at me like I had lost my mind because I was at a Fun in the Sun event, which are some of the best events until they messed them up. But Fun in the Sun, and he was just kind of standing there here in Chicago, and I wasn't going to go, and my friends were making fun of me for going, and I said, oh, I'm going. And he was just standing there kind of stunned by all of it. And I said, dude, you're never going to be the star you can be if you don't get out there. And he was like, what do you know about it? And we started talking and been fast friends ever since.
That's awesome.
And, I asked him if he wanted me to work for him. And he was like, I don't even know what that means. And
how refreshing. I love it.
Well, it was very fascinating. And then I didn't know much at the time. I just knew what I liked and I knew what I wanted to see. But I also, more importantly, was a huge fan of Justice Ward and the Ward family on GH. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if something worked with Mufundo and Justice Ward, that I could see the family that I loved come back, possibly. And so that was my catalyst. Much to my dismay, it didn't work. But it wasn't for us trying and supporting him. And he had the Justice League was our group, our fan club base, and we had a lot of great times hanging out. And he is one great guy.
That's awesome.
He's working to get into film now, and he's not much interested in doing TV. But the thing is that it's just it's unfortunate, because with the lack of support that actors of color get, and I don't think it's anything purposeful. I think that the market doesn't show that we're out here as African Americans and Hispanics, and like with everything else, we're, 10% of the population, they think, and so we don't necessarily count. But on our end, we've got so much going on in our lives that, we're trying to get our kids from point A to point B without getting shot in the ghetto. We can't be thinking about writing fan letters and spending these thousands of dollars that fans spend on these couples and all of that stuff. It's just not our culture. And because of that, we're not seen and we're not as visible. And if we're not that visible, then how can they count us? So it's kind of a cycle,
And if I may ask then about that, because it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there's a couple of things I wanted to ask. First of all, in specific regards to the actors of color on the various networks, one of the reasons that I've always suspected that YNR was a success was because of the fact that it front-burnered those characters in storylines and made them relatable. They weren't like a lot of times the characters that you get, say, on ABC, where they're just thrown in there on, like you said, on General Hospital, and that was a reason for their success. And it seems to me that especially One Life to Live, of the three ABC soaps, has been doing the best job at starting to build that base of diversity.
Well, that
among
was
the
basis of the soap years ago, right, when it began, was the diversity in that town. There was rich, poor, black, white, and that's where One Life to Live started. But it's and like you said, it is one of the better ones, but it's still, like she said, it's kind of lost that
purpose. I think that Frank Valentini can be credited, and I don't know him worth Adam, don't think I do, but I just think that he can be credited because it doesn't seem to be supported, and this is just my own opinion after hanging around, and being in different places and going to different events. The whole diversity cast does not seem to be supported because ABC seems to work on this whole idea of the Fab Five or the Fab Four or the Fab Three, and that's everything. And they build that ever since the Luke and Laura years, which, I can tell you where I was. I bet you all know where you were. But ever since the Luke and Laura years, it became about a couple people or three people or five people, and then everybody else was no longer the ensemble. And that's why, to me, One Life to Live has emerged as my favorite. I mean, every so many years, another soap changes on ABC. But right now, it's One Life to Live. And over the long haul, I can say that One Life to Live has always worked hard to be different. I mean, they did those live telecasts, which was just incredibly crazy to me.
Oh, that was remember, so great.
I thought they were insane, but how talented must you have to be to do
well,
that?
Well, Cassie DePaiva on that. Yeah. Oh, I can't forget that ever. That was
the
wonderful.
Entire cast. I mean, it just they take chances. Prom night.
Yes. Oh,
everybody,
yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. Not my taste, but
me either,
all
but...
of that. All of that stuff, and the thing about prom night that probably a lot of the viewers won't know is that, you know, what that also works to do, not only include all of the children and bring in, you know, the youth for the summer, but mm-hmm. that allows all of the crew to stretch their wings production-wise.
There you go.
And One Life to Live is great about that. I mean, I had a big, when the Emmys were out and they announced the nominees, I was so excited because One Life to Live had so many really good nominations for the first time in a long time. They've always been overlooked since the early years, and mm-hmm. I think their crew, I mean, I happen to know a couple of them, so there's my bias on the table, but the crew is really dedicated to doing what they do, but they really get into what can we do next, you know? And I think some of that is lost on the shows overall, you know, across all three networks. You know, it's what can we do different, you know? It's that challenge, and I think that One Life to Live does hold on to that. And I want to say that it must have something to do with Frank Valentini, because all that can't happen without, you know, the executive producer's stamp of approval. So it's neat. I mean, I'm just excited to be working with so many One Life to Livers at this point. It happened that way. And I lucked out, really. I mean, I just got, it's about being in the right place at the right time and having the right people watch you. But really, I was working with Mafundo when Kumar jumped off the stage and asked me to help, and I thought I was going to pass out.
Well, you mentioned... You mentioned the Emmys a moment ago, and I wanted to ask you about that, because on your MySpace profile, which for the listeners, you can go to myspace.com/JEANIAD, you have pictures of your visit, or because you were at the Emmys. And,
yes, I'm at the Emmys all the time.
And so we figured, we were not fortunate enough to have that luxury. We were actually at home recording a podcast of mm-hmm. our reactions to it. What's it like to be at the Emmys for those who have not been there, and what are some things that you could tell the listeners about it, and or your experiences or a favorite story that you might have?
I think everybody ought to do it at least once. I say that about the inaugural ball and about the Emmys. Everybody ought to do it at least once to support an actor they love. There's no experience like it. I love it, and I love the Emmys in L.A. much more than New York City, even though New York City's my home, but that's because of the way L.A.'s laid out. It's very cool to be on the red carpet. Sure, you can go in and watch the show, but I got to tell you, we don't even bother to go in and watch the show because we find it to be a lot more fun on the red carpet to greet all of our favorites, and it's every one of them. It's so fun because we know they're coming, and we're all standing out there, and we have big posses out there. I had 16 different fans between Tobias, Kumar, Sean Ringgold, and Bethann Bonner, and we even had a few Marcus Patrick fans, but Marcus didn't get to go because he was so new. So, aww. I mean, for me, it's about assembling fans and going to these events and enjoying them as fans would. That's my favorite part of the job that I do, and it's a full-service job that I do, and the actors really, I can say, have come to appreciate it because it, you know, they're nervous when they're out there. And Beth Ann said when she was coming down the carpet, she was, you know, hanging on to Bree's arm because she was nervous as anything. You never would have known, but she said, you know what, as soon as I heard you guys screaming my name, I felt like I was at home.
Aww.
And so those kinds of things are cool because, you know, these guys, they're people. The actors are people. They have hard lives and they work hard. And, you know, yeah, they get a lot of privilege too, but you know what? It's a lot to be under the microscope 24/7. And so,
I couldn't even imagine it.
I can't either. Sometimes I'm just me, and I do the work, and people know me and stop me out, and it's weird. So I can't imagine when that happens times 1,000, you know, times everybody, everywhere you go, you know, and then to have people critique everything you do. It's mm-hmm. horrible. Sometimes people can be so horrible. And so,
very unfair, too. But
yeah. And one-sided and myopic and all of those things, but also people are gracious, you know. There's that whole group of folks who just really want that one glimpse, and it's really cool. So my biggest, Luke, you asked about my most favorite opportunity
yes.
here. There were several. The Tobias, the Vincent fans, that was me. So did anybody see the fans that everybody was waving around?
Yes!
Yes. So, well, those
oh,
were Vincent
yeah!
fans.
Cool.
That was one
I've seen your picture on the Gabriel Project, so I know what you look like.
that was one of our promotional things to get Tobias out there so that people knew his name. And Brian Cronston came and asked us for a fan, which was kind of interesting. But we had some actors who stopped and said, hey, can we have one of those? So there were probably 250 to 300 fans out there that on the back of them they said All Vincent and All the Time. And when Tobias came down the aisle, people were waving them everywhere, and he autographed them. And it was very cool because that was his first real walk down the aisle where people knew who he was. Last year he was so new, and he had only, I think, been on the show maybe 3 or 4 weeks at last year's Emmys. So it was very cool, and then Kumar came down the aisle, and he's, you know, newlywed this year, so he and Sherry Somm.
I was going to ask you if that was true, so it is. Okay, great.
Yes, it is, absolutely. He's been with Sherry Somm for many, many years.
Yes, I knew that, but I didn't know if they had gotten married or
not.
They
got married on Memorial Day. They had a fabulous wedding. I did not go, I just heard. they had a very fabulous wedding, and it was covered in World Bride, which is a magazine that's on the newsstands, and we're all trying to hunt around and get a copy. But they were covered by World Bride.
What is it covered in, I'm sorry?
World Bride.
World Bride, okay. Go right ahead.
It's a cultural magazine about brides, so everybody's starting to understand this need in our country for diversity, and it's starting to be reflected everywhere. So I almost feel like I was ahead of the curve because I actually started Fanfare about 2 years ago in my brain, and it's finally taken, you know.
They're on the cover. They're beautiful.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yeah, if you go to worldbride.com, you can.
That's exactly where I'm at.
Yeah, you can see the cover. And the problem is that they're such a new magazine that they're in limited edition, and they're only at certain newsstands in New York City. So if people are in New York City during the One Life to Live luncheon or beyond, they'll be able to find. If you go to worldbride.com, they can see the list of stores and where they can find them. And as fans, they're about, well, Kumar has about 60 so fan club members in his club, and most of us are pretty tight. I know, I'd say 90% of them, and we're all hunting for it, so good luck finding it. If you find it before us, let us know, because we'll beat you down for it.
Well, you've mentioned the fan club luncheon a couple times, and I wanted to ask you about that, and then also about the Beth Ann Bonner event, because I was looking at it, and the dates are the exact same, so I was wondering, is the fan club luncheon during the day, and then do the stars then have events on the side in the evening that people can attend to? And what's going to be your involvement in the fan club luncheon and then also in the side events?
Well, I'm a fan, so I attend the luncheons. I've attended GH Fan Club luncheon, although I did not go this year. I also go to One Life to Live luncheon. I stopped going to All My Children luncheon a little bit ago because I don't really have any actors, and it gets very, very expensive. So as you can imagine, you have to pick and choose. I guess I need to back up. Essentially, as Fanfare Inc., which is just kind of a new business, and this is the first time I'm really like talking to the fans about it. So, because I've been kind of nervous about whether I could actually make it into a business, but it looks like now with 6 clients, I'm pretty safe to say, yeah, it's working.
Yay! 6 clients. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
And
about
it's your
that.
First have, year, right?
This is my first year open, but I've been working. I had Mofundo for. I started with Mofundo in 2004. I picked up Kumar I started with Mofundo summer 2004. Picked up Kumar in fall 2004, and then the rest I all got this year. I set the intention and said I wanted 10 by the end of the year, and it looks like I may do that. So
yes, that's
I never
great.
Come back from an event without a new actor. So.
There you go. That's amazing.
It is.
Congratulations.
It's kind of unbelievable, but I'm still pinching myself because I, like you all, have watched all my life, and now I find myself standing in rooms and on red carpets with the very people who I watch every day, and it's the coolest job ever.
Well,
so.
Hearing your love and your enthusiasm for soaps and for the actors and your passion about diversity and wanting to expand the minds, you deserve it. That's what we need in soaps, this passion and this enthusiasm and this excitement. This is what we need.
And let me say this, there's more than enough work to go around if all of us, everyone who wanted to run a fan club, decided and ran a fan club, there would still be more work. So go for it, people. It's not hard to do. It is expensive. It's expensive to do. It's a labor of love. And it's not what people think it is. You don't always get to hang out with the actors. You don't always, it's not a free pass to the studio. It's not any of that. It is about supporting people who do the work that you really admire, and then maybe you might get something really cool, like a cool text message that says, thanks for having me in your life, or some kind of neat thing like that. Or, somebody shows up at your dinner table and says, I just wanted to come by and say hey because I knew you were in town. And those are the moments that the work all then becomes worth it. But it's really, it's just cool work. And not all fan club presidents have relationships with their actors. I am very fortunate. It is, I can totally completely say that it's a reflection of my personality because it is who I am. That's why I picked the actors that I did and why I honed in on the work that I wanted. And so, sorry, my phone rings a lot. Ignore that.
I bet.
it's one of those things, but there's work. It's a lot of fun, and if you pick the right actor that is suited for your personality, you will very much enjoy it. Plenty of work to be done. It's a lot of work. You can always find new work, and if you're creative and you like to be a fan and you like to do fun things, I think that for a long time people have thought that it was this kind of obscure thing that only a few people got to do, and for a while that was very true, but now with the emergence of the internet and MySpace and all of these things, these young girls are so, and guys are so capable on the internet that they can do so much more than so many of us older ladies can do because computers are newer to us. These guys have never lived their lives without computers, so they're already website savvy and all that stuff. I had to teach myself to do websites. So,
you're doing fine, honey.
Why, thanks. I've got a few out there, but most of my actors have their own sites and have had their own webmasters by the time they came to me, so I just help them organize and do some things and make additions and all those kinds of things.
Aww.
So back to One Life to Live Lunch, and you guys have to keep me focused because I'm terrible.
Hey, we're loving it. Keep going, girl.
So One Life to Live Luncheon, my role in a luncheon is, A, I go as a fan. I pay for a ticket like everyone else, and all fan club presidents do. We don't get any special privileges. We have to pay for our tickets. We go. We're fans. But what we do is, in terms of support, is we make sure their actors are comfortable, they have what they need. In mm-hmm. my case, I really kind of cater to the promotion of my actors, and so I have a bunch of them sitting here stacking things as we talk and getting packed, promotional items and things that, cards and MySpace addresses and postcards and letters and all those fun things that I can give out, all the freebies that I like to give out. And so my role is to bring my actors to visibility. I want people to know who they are and what they do and what their characters are. And, it's kind of weird for an actor to go, don't you love me? But it's real easy for me to go, don't you love that guy? Isn't he hot? And and then people go, yeah, kind of, sort of. Let me go talk to him. And so that's what I do during lunch. And I also try to make sure that my fan club members, so to speak, aren't alienated. We all are from different areas in the country, and so I spend a lot of time behind the scenes organizing for them. So many of them have never been to the big city, and some of them, it's their first trip, and they're scared to fly into the city. And so mm-hmm. same with Super Soap Weekend. It's foreign to folks. And so what I do for my club members is I let them know in their updates and all that, this is what's happening. I've got a table. If you guys want to sit at our table, you're more than welcome. Mm-hmm. Send your money, blah, 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 blah. And so that way we're all together. And so I have a table at the luncheon. We have a Kamar fan club table, which doubles as a Beth Ann Bonner fan club table very quickly.
Oh, cool.
And some people are also Tobias and Sean fans as well. And so I do have a table, and it will be it's organized so that we all fly in together. We have activities, and I try to make sure we all can have dinner. At this last, the charity baseball game, is when Kamar found out that he was getting shipped off to L.A. during the fan club luncheon, so he's not going to be able to make it. And as a result, he made sure that he knew where we were going to be for dinner on that Friday night, and he came and joined us for dinner, and because he knew he was going to miss the luncheon, and he knew that we had bought a table and were supporting him specifically, and so he wanted to make up for that. And so he came and had dinner with us that night, and let everybody know what was going on and why he wasn't going to be at the luncheon.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I tell you, they all are. They really are. If you get the opportunity to know them or even visit with them, you just walk away going, wow, very cool, very cool. That's the best part about it, and it's one of the reasons why I took the thing, the whole fan club business to another level, because I'm so curious about all of them in their lives, because knowing and being a social worker and a sociologist, I really wanted people to understand. The immersion of the internet did fabulous things, but it also allows for a lot of ugliness.
Yes.
And all of that hatred that gets spewed, I just wanted the opportunity to be able to show people that they're people, but also show them that not all of us out here are just out of our minds.
Yeah, we're not all wacko. And I don't mind disagreements, and I don't mind people not liking
right.
characters, because right. I'm the first in line of that. But right. do it with respect. Do it with, hey, this is not the actor's fault. This is the writing. This is a character. You know these
right.
actors
yes.
are working hard.
And in their defense, how would they know that? Because a lot of this is not real to them. And so that's kind of what I always have hoped to bring to the table, is to make it real for people so that people could see, oh, wow, yeah, they have hopes, they have dreams. And
exactly.
so many of them are so concerned with the legacy that they leave, which is the second part of Fanfare Inc., and that is, I always wanted to put together an organization that brought together charities and celebrities. I have to tell you, I found an article about 15 years ago that I've held on to, and it's still posted on my bulletin board, and I've taken it everywhere I've moved with that concept. Mm-hmm. And so that's the second piece, and Kumar is the first step of that with the Gabriel Project. It all came together kind of karmic-like, but it's worked out really well, and that's the goal, is to try to help celebrities meet their charitable interests, but also help the charities get what they need by yep. way of celebrity endorsements and so on and so forth. So that's the second part of where I want to go with my agency, and hopefully as I move along, and I think I can see it now. There was a time when I thought, oh, this is all too big, but I have a lot of dreams and hopes, and I've just done so many things, so I'm convinced it'll happen. It's just a matter of, I have
it
to
will.
Be a little more patient with myself.
Well, it seems like you're on your way.
It sounds like you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thanks. I hope so, and I think so. What I will say is, my feedback from both actors and fans says I am. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make everybody happy. That's not the goal. I'm not out there to make 10,000 friends. Not my goal. If I don't like you, you probably know it. That's okay. And if you don't like me, there's probably a reason, and that's okay too.
That's right. And it's like Lisa mentioned earlier, I mean, whether it be fan club presidents, whether it be the stars, fans have to remember that they're just characters, and that there's
right.
a difference between characters and fans, because I mean, that's one of the things on Daytime Confidential that we've tried to do is for the most part, there are occasional people, but for the most part, we try and always separate the difference between mm-hmm. the character and the actor, because the actor can just be getting a crummy storyline, and
absolutely.
And it's not his fault that, or her fault, that they are being paired with someone who they don't appear to have chemistry with, or it's based on what the writers and the powers that be that are involved in it are doing it. And so while you may be able to bash the character or bash the mm-hmm. pairing or something, at the same time, these people are still humans, and there's a lot of stuff in fan base or fandom mm-hmm. that it can mm-hmm. be just pure evil sometimes.
That's exactly right, and that's the big thing, is like I liken it to imagine if the very job that you do every single day, in my case working with HIV-positive patients and teaching them how to use the computers and how to get on our website and how to find healthcare information. Imagine if somebody watched me all day long and got to sit on the internet and critique that, not knowing me ever.
Exactly.
And when you think about that, wow.
Exactly.
Because I got my good days, I got my bad days. You know, I've got my great days, I've got my really low performance days, and I just really would hate that somebody is sitting and critiquing that all day long, 24/7, mm-hmm. and they've never met me, you know? And so those are the kinds of things that I try to bring to the table, because they're important to me. And not only are they important to me, but I know they're very, very important to Kumar, and we have great conversations about all those kinds of things. And it's one of the things that we both have in common, is that we've always had an interest for many, many years. It was really tough to be a Kumar fan, because there were a lot of Kumar haters out there, and they used to just be vicious towards him.
Mm-hmm.
The tide is changing, but a lot of that was just about Antonio, and they just hated that Antonio story. And they called him all kinds of horrible names. And I have a few people in my fan club now who told me years ago they used to call him horrible names and never thought they'd join his fan club. But, again, after meeting him and going to his charity events and seeing what a kind man he is, they have changed their tune. I mean, there used to be horrible stories out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just could not believe that that was the same guy. And then the more I got to know him, I realized it's not. They don't know him. They're just making assumptions. Of course, I have my own biases, but I get to see the everyday stuff, you know, the regular stuff. And I'm fortunate in that I do because, you know, Kumar makes time for me and I try to make time for him when we are in the same city. And so it's really just a neat opportunity that I have with, you know, each one of the guys. I mean, I just adore Beth Ann Bonner. She's a scream. Crazy.
Well, see, she looks like she'd be so much fun.
And
it is.
And that and that leads me to her event, because we want to make sure we get a plug in for her event.
It's,
it's Beth Ann Bonner and special guest
Bree Williamson on
August 4th, correct?
On August 4th, and it's the evening of the luncheon. And it sounds like neither one of you have ever been to many fan events, huh?
No.
No. That's one of the,
In weird places,
yeah, like,
you don't even want to know.
Like, I'm in Nebraska and she's in Alabama or something like that. Alabama or Arkansas, I think it's Alabama. But
it's Alabama,
there
thank
we go.
You very much.
Planes go there.
Yeah, they do, but when... they do, but...
But when they don't go to my bank account, put money in it so
yes,
I can fly
exactly.
out.
I understand. I know, that's the unfortunate part is that events can be so expensive from time to time, but I would say to you all, I mean, really, especially because of what you do, you know, I tell all fans this, try to schedule one and get your friends together and split the cost. Mm-hmm. We split our hotel. My first Super Soap weekend, I met like 6 friends, and the second year we came back and we rented a suite and we partied out. And we did Super Soap, and we've been friends ever since. And now, 12 years later, we're all still going to Super Soap together.
That's so cool.
Well, and it's not necessarily sometimes. I think that for fans such as myself and Lisa, mm-hmm. who live in more not coastal states, shall we say?
Sure.
It's one of those things where there aren't always as many events. I recently, Jeff Branson and Chrishell Stahl recently mm-hmm. did it in Missouri, at which Belinda attended and apparently had a lot of fun there. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where it's like, you know, if there would be more opportunity to get some of those events in the.
Mm-hmm. It's really tough.
Maybe even like in Chicago or St. Mm-hmm. Louis or bigger cities, that it might mm-hmm. make it easier for people such as Lisa and I to be able to go to them. But when you start talking coast, that's a whole different story.
Sure. It's understandable. And I know a lot of fans who have a hard time getting to them. And that's one of the things that I do too, is spend a lot of time on the net and making sure that they're included. You know, I have a few fans who have never been to an event either, but they are some of our biggest supporters in terms of funds and writing campaigns and all of those kind of things. They get involved in those. To go back to events, Beth Ann Bonner's event is August 4th from 7 to 10:30. We are launching her fan club. About 2, maybe 3 months ago, she asked me if I would work with her and do her fan club. Of course, I agreed wholeheartedly. She's just the coolest chick I know. I love her. She's a crazy girl, and I love a good crazy girl. But she's also just plain fun. And having fun with it. And the whole I want to be a soap star, I don't watch because I don't have SoapNet. My city doesn't get SoapNet.
You poor thing.
Well, you can watch them online now, can't you? Through SoapNet.com, since they're streaming Night Shift.
I have the patience to be sitting there staring.
Did you not listen to this interview? She cannot sit there.
Well,
I got a lot going on. Sitting still is not in my program, my friend.
Well, when it's streaming, you never know.
She's not like us.
There. I have to tell you, even while I sit and listen to you guys, Daytime Confidential, I am sorting bills and doing things because I just can't sit still. I'm like, gosh. I need something to do. So I save all of that for when I sit and listen to Daytime Confidential.
Listen to us? That's so cool.
Of course.
You.
I'm a huge Belinda fan. I have to tell you, Belinda's how I found you all.
She's our guest this week.
She's going to be joining us on the ABC podcast. We decided to focus on the podcast specifically because the podcasts were doing so well.
So
she's going to be writing for Ion Soaps. But mm-hmm. as part of that, she, as a way to cross promote, since we love her and adore her, she's going to be joining us on the ABC episodes
Fabulous.
Each week. So
Belinda's another one who I've never met, but one of my most favorite people in the world.
Oh,
so,
she's
I mean,
great.
I
can see why.
Lots of fans all over the place.
She's fabulous.
Scream. She gets it. She understands too, much mm-hmm. like so many of us do, that it's so much about the tradition and mm-hmm. the history and the connection that we have to our generations, our mothers and our grandmothers who taught us to watch and why we watch. And the younger, you know, the younger audience is really geared up on this whole coupling or this or that or the other, and all that's fine, and it serves its purpose as well. It just is, for me, you know, when people are like, oh, I want Brenda to come back, or I want this one to come back, or I want that one to come back, I'm like, really, seriously, let's just move on, because I get tired of the revisiting myself. I just hate the revisiting of old couples, even my favorite couples. I want them to move forward, and so... for me, because it's about if we keep dragging back to the old stuff, then in my mind, the shows never move forward. And I'm big on watching the shows advance and what else can they bring us.
Well, and so, we want them to have continued success as well. And with
absolutely.
Ratings the way they are, you have to – I mean, I firmly believe that it's sort of a combination of a good veterans and an honoring of veterans and history, and then providing you with the new characters to eventually take their places and have it be a consistent process where instead
well,
of like
goes,
fluctuations –
it goes without saying, the veterans wouldn't be veterans if they weren't good, so why aren't we using them?
Exactly.
Amen. She gets it. She gets it.
It just makes no sense to me. Okay, I don't want to start on my soapbox, but, you know, my biggest problem is much like, and you've heard me come right out and say I'm an ABC daytime loyalist, in being loyal, I also understand there comes good with bad, and one of you'll even see on my website, I always say that you know, ABC is back on top with Grey's Anatomy and Ugly Betty and some of my favorite shows that they have. Oh, my God, Traveler. Anybody watching Traveler?
Yes, I watched Traveler this year. I
love that show. But they're on top, but constantly you're going, where is the diversity? And so I really want for them to get it. I really want for them to figure it out because I am a consumer. I do spend my money. I do care. I do watch. And I have to tell you, I work at Cook County Hospital and Rush Hospital, which are two very large hospitals in Chicago. And everybody kind of knows Cook County because that's the hospital that ER is based off of.
Right.
But I have to tell you, when I walk through the ER at noon for us, which is when all my children comes on, no matter what station all the TVs are on, they all go to ABC through the ER when the soaps come
Interesting.
On. And so without question, we're watching, and we're out there. We just all don't know how to be the organized fans that everyone else seems to know how to be.
And we don't all have Nielsen boxes either.
Exactly.
I do.
And Nielsen boxes are pretty cool, but you know what? I know a thing or two about TV, and don't underestimate your DVR, because that's all being recorded.
Oh, yeah.
They know what we're watching,
yeah.
And they know what we're not watching, and they know what we're turning to. But then there's the message boards, and, you know, then there's, you know, there's all of that stuff that's being monitored out there, and Brian Fonz even said on SoapNet, on SoapNet during the Emmy weekend, in his talk about Night Shift, well, we're monitoring the boards and we see what people like. And I thought, great day, because some of those boards are nuts. So,
well, yeah, but, you know, especially so, some of the more official boards, like the ones that are like the network boards. Boy, you
go
to some of those and it's very little actual discussion of soaps is going on.
Right. And so those things, those things skew what we see. And that's one of the reasons why I continue to, you know, to applaud One Life to Live, because it has become about the ensemble. You know, it was getting very myopic there for a while with just a few characters, but it's spread out again, and it's so much more fun to watch this year when you get to see, you know, Marty and Miles, and then John jump in, and then, you know, you've got Layla and Vincent, and you've got Sean back there making his cracks in the steam room, and Forbes, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, and you know, then there's, I actually was fortunate enough to be on the set because I had won a tour and an auction to see Bree transform Jessica into Tessica, and so I watched all of that go on, and it was just fascinating to see the process of trying to be two people and separate them at the same time, and so, you know, these folks are talented. It's hard work, and a lot of folks don't know who they are, what they're doing, but they can't imagine the number of hours that they put in, and then, you know, and the crew is just so dynamic in that they see it, and it's just fun to watch, and I got to watch a lot of when, during the Killing Club.
Oh, boy.
A lot of that was going on, and it was just kind of interesting to see all of that and see it all in the making in this tiny little studio that's really just bigger than a warehouse, and it's a lot of creation that goes on, and it's fascinating to watch, and so when you see all of that, it's hard to get on a board and slam somebody for the work that they're doing. You know.
Well, and for the listeners, we seem to have been having technical problems with Lisa. We've lost her, so we're going to wrap this up because we wouldn't want to continue this conversation without her. I have a couple last things. On your MySpace profile, which for the listener again, myspace.com/JEANIAD, people can leave you a message on your MySpace profile. That is really cool.
And so, I would love for them to do that.
So if you're a listener of the podcast and you've been listening to this, definitely drop by and leave her a message. I'm not sure how it works. I'm going to have to ask you about that because I would love to have that on for us as well.
It's very easy.
Okay.
We can talk about it once you're done.
Okay. And then I also noticed here, we on our other podcast is Movie Junkie Podcast, and we just we're actually going to be publishing tomorrow, which, well, it's going to be Friday, so it'll be after this or before this airs, but the Dreamgirls soundtrack on your thing. And I just have to ask, because we counted down our top five musicals, and Dreamgirls was on at least three of ours lists. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you love the song, but past the song, did you love the movie as much as you love the song, or
more? I have to tell you that I'm a Dreamgirls girl from the beginning. I saw the very first Broadway version of Dreamgirls with Jennifer Holliday at the very first performance. I was young. My best friend's mom took us both as a gift, and I will never forget when Jennifer Holliday began, "I am telling you," went berserk. And much like at Christmas time when I went to see it and the five times afterwards this year, every time you hear that song, everyone, no matter what neighborhood you are, no matter what demographic you're in, no matter who you are in that theater, people stood and applauded.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
Jennifer Hudson is amazing. I'm a huge fan, and she lives not far from Chicago. She hails not far from here in Chicago, where I live. And I'm unfortunately not gotten to meet her yet, but not for lack of trying.
It's on your priorities list?
Very big priority. She and Oprah, and I live right in the same city. Isn't that sad?
Well,
haven't met either of them yet.
That's a big city you live in, so, I mean.
It is, but I'm a pretty good stalker. I hate that word, but yeah. I'm pretty good at meeting who I want to meet. I've met almost every, I'd say I've met 90% of the ABC soap opera actors in my fandom years, and I have autographs and pictures with almost all of them. So when I speak of them, I've met them. Some of them will even remember me, some maybe not, but will know she's the crazy girl. But I have my name, Gina Davis, rings bells with people for obvious reasons because of the actress, and so oftentimes when people say, "What's your name?" And I say, "Gina Davis," they go, "Like the movie star." And I always say, "Shorter, darker, and poorer, but that's me." And so typically people remember. So many of the actors have remembered, even if they just go, "Your name, like a famous name." So,
That's really cool. Just so that we make sure that we have all of our bases covered, you are, if anybody wants to check out the fan clubs for your stars, where should they go? Mm-hmm.
Probably the best place, one central place, is to go to my MySpace page, which is Gina D, JEANIAD. They can reach me through Kamar's page, through Beth Ann Bonner's page, through Tobias Trevelyan's page, or Sean Ringel's page. I keep my fan bases separated because one of the biggest fan complaints is that people get these mass emails from people that they're not fans of, and so what I tend to do is my Kamar fans get emails only about Kamar from KamarFan@AOL.com, and people kind of know the pattern. But so I'd say through my MySpace page they can contact me, and like I said, it's Gina D, JEANIAD. But most folks know how to find me because I'm out there.
Okay, and they can leave you a message.
Absolutely. Please leave me a message. I'd love to hear from the Daytime Confidential listeners because I'm one of them, and I love hearing what people have to say. I love a good debate.
We'll have to have you on the ABC episode sometimes. They're usually short and fast-paced episodes, so have
I
to have you on
lot,
sometime.
Though.
Well, on those episodes, because they're only 30 minutes and because we cover all three soaps, it's one of those things where we have to give everybody equal airtime. So don't worry about it. We can work with it. But you have an open invitation anytime you want. Is there an email address if someone wanted to contact you for anything that you wanted to give out?
Yes, they can go through my, which one's going to be the best one? Let's say ABC Daytime Diva abcdaytimediva@aol.com.
Okay.
That's abcdaytimediva@aol.com. That's my most consistent and my one for business.
Once again, now will you be at the Beth Ann Bonner event?
Personally? I'm running the Beth Ann Bonner
okay.
event.
So you're I knew you had sent us the date, but I wasn't sure. So you'll be at that event. Are there still tickets available for that?
There are tickets available. Again, if you want to get tickets for that event, at this point it would be too late to do them through the mail. So just look for me at the Marriott Marquis between 9 and noon. We'll have a table there. Ask anyone for the Beth Ann Bonner Camar de los Reyes fan club table. I will have tickets there with me. Or, again, you can email me at abcdaytimediva@aol.com. Or specifically for Beth Ann tickets, bethannfan@aol.com. Or you can just go to Beth Ann Bonner's MySpace page and go through there.
Now, I have to ask you about that because I tried adding her as a friend, and it was set to private.
She's private, yes. Now, that Beth Ann Bonner runs her own page. So
okay.
I don't run all their pages.
Okay.
I design a lot of pages, and I do a lot of different things. But each actor likes to do their own thing.
Okay.
And some, you know, some run their own pages. Kumar runs his own page, and some don't run at all and just go in and look and read the messages.
It has been a wonderful, and it has been a pleasure to discuss with you. I have a message here from Lisa, who apparently got her IM back at least. She goes,
oh, cool.
You are wonderful, and she said to tell you so, and she really wishes that she could have been here to finish this up with you.
Thanks.
I thank you so much.
Well, let me say thank you for having me. I enjoy Daytime Confidential, and I was one of the first to jump on the podcast when I heard it was going to happen. And you guys, too, have done great work. I know I've been with you since inception, and I like it a lot. And so keep up the good work yourself.
Well, thank you so much on behalf of both Lisa and I. We do appreciate that. Sometimes we don't know who's all listening, and it's nice to know that it's nice to know that we have listeners like you, because it has been a pleasure.
So, well, we're out here.
well, folks, until next time, we thank you for joining us for this, our special interview with Gina Davis. Thank you so much for your time, and have a good one, folks.
Bye-bye.